Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I just wanted to come out and show myself, be myself. This is me. This is what y'all get when y'all see me.
Jamal, Sweet Dreams here!
Oh! Massive knockdown for Morales!
That's gonna be it.
Wow! Vandana Morales!
Oh my God!
Wow!
And we were working a lot of touch and goes out, blocking body shots, usually off the hands. Worked off the knee that time. Touch and go.
Vince Vandana Morales!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
What a fucking disaster.
And that's how we start. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Oh, shit.
Now, Matt is not in your normal setup today. What's going on, Matt?
Well, listen, I got back from Universal Disney, Florida. I got back from Florida with the family last night. And the Wi-Fi was great. You know, I got back like 2 in the morning, whatever.
Oh, late.
I woke up this morning. I have no Wi-Fi. So, you know, I'm in my car using the cellular data on my phone. So normally you got the nice green screen. But now You just got a powerful me in my car in the parking lot of a Stop and Shop. But hey, man, we make do here on UFC Unfiltered.
Hey, look, and we got Jamal Hill in the waiting room, Matt. We're going to bring him in. But that's what happens when, you know, once in a while when we are dependent on Wi-Fi, sometimes the Wi-Fi shits the bed and we got to improvise. But at least we can improvise. At least we can do this and still get the show done. Hey, Jamal, how you doing?
How y'all doing?
Good. Matt can't see you, but Matt, can you hear him?
I hear him. I see him. I saw him for a second there. He's walking through an airport or something. Where are you, Jamal?
Where are you?
I'm at the PI.
What are you doing now, man? It's not like you got to get some work done for recovery. It was a quick night work the other night.
Man, I had to, I had to get my hand a little swollen, you know. Got a hard head.
Well, it's better than your face, though, right? Better than your face swollen.
Right.
Dude, that was fantastic, man. So accurate, Jamal.
Thank you.
You're like, so, oh shit.
You know what they say, accuracy beats power.
Fuck yeah, man.
After that Paul Craig fight, it's when you see somebody lose sometimes, there's ways people lose where people still are like, I like this guy even more now. Like the way you lost that fight, I mean, it didn't drop your appeal at all. I mean, it just showed how tough you are. And I watched it again recently, and I'm like, I would never know by your face that you were even hurt. I mean, were you in a bit of shock when that happened? Or how did you handle that so like flawlessly?
I didn't know my arm was out. Whenever it initially popped out, I didn't feel it. I was just like going through my escape, my way that I was planning on escaping. And whenever I popped up, normally whenever I'm able to have a little bit of flexibility in my elbow to where, you know, I'm able to sit up, get a little leverage so I can sit and lean and kind of stack them up to where I can get out. And it gave. Whenever I was reaching for my arm, I didn't find it. And I looked back and he still had it. So,
wow.
So I was like, man, he went to go for the triangle. I thought it was broken. I was like, oh, he broke my arm. I was like, I got to knock him out. can't take no L's.
What was the extent of the injury?
It was a dislocation. Just my elbow came completely out.
Oh, okay. And what was the recoup time on that?
I was back training within 6 weeks.
Okay. You certainly, again, you look good against Jimmy Crude, who's really a tough guy. And what an impressive way. Like, after it's your first loss, some guys let that really throw them. You didn't seem like that threw you at all. I mean, you came back and looked exactly as good as you did before that last fight.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, just get back in the gym, do all the right things, and go out and get the result that I wanted, you know, the result that I'm used to. I feel like in a Paul Craig thing, I got rid of some things personally and mentally that I did about the way I approached that fight, to where I was able to get back to business like I normally am, like I normally do, dominantly.
And I'll tell you, man, Jimmy Crute's no pushover, dude. I mean, he took that first one, then he got, and he took it like a champ, and then he got back up, and he looked like, all right, now we're about to have a fight. And then you're like, no, you're out of here. I mean, fuck, man, Jimmy's a durable guy, too. When you connected that punch, the ref jumped in before you even had to finish him on the floor. You knew he was done the second that fucking thing connected.
Yeah, I knew he was done with the follow-up shot. Whenever he initially went down, I kind of seen him like dazed. But, you know, it may not look like it, but in my mind, you know how things go kind of slow. I feel like I paused a little second to kind of, you know, I mean, give him a chance to rub. I didn't see the ref jump in. So, you know, I came in with the last follow-up shot just to try to get the win.
Yeah, you feel like you got the monkey off your back now, because everything was going so well. We had the little hiccup with the with Paul Craig, and that's annoying, man. Some guys have that, and that could be a mental, it could mess your head up. You know, I mean, you start questioning things. What made you just stay focused and say, "All right, that's an L." Good.
I immediately knew what I did wrong.
I
immediately knew what I did wrong in the Paul Craig fight. That's what I, you seen when I was, whenever he was walking, when I was sitting there, that,
yeah.
That look, that was me. That was, all right, I know what I did. You got me.
Yeah.
It won't happen again.
What did you think you did wrong?
Aside from the obvious technical errors, is the fact that I allowed him to get to what he does best. You know, I was cocky. I was arrogant. I literally felt like all I had to do was show up. No matter what he did, I was going to win.
Is that what you were talking about a minute ago when you said approaching something differently to training? Was that you felt like, by the way, that was very honest of you to say that. Francis said the same thing about Stipe after their first fight. And I love to hear that honesty. So you didn't put as much into the training as you should have, because you thought you had.
No, it wasn't that. I still put the work in. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I still put the work in. But just the way I viewed it, the way I viewed the fight, the way I looked at it, I just looked at it. I covered up any questions like, oh, I wonder how strong any of that. It was like, it was just arrogance. Like, oh, he can't eat. Dude, like, I looked at him as inferior, like, just period, like, you know what I mean, just complete disrespect.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it was, and that's not, you can't do that to nobody.
With these, with the gloves on, with the grappling, sometimes it helps when guys are trying to rear naked choke you, because without the gloves it's a lot easier. With the fucking arm lock, sometimes they're annoying. Sometimes, like, yo, usually I'm getting out of this.
Arm don't slip the same. Like, you can't just stand like how I stood up at first and kind of slip. Like, you know what I mean? Usually in class, no gi in class, you know, you stand, you flip, you can usually get a little more. It didn't move. And he was strong. He worked his grips. His grips were very strong.
Yeah, that's his MO, man. I mean, from guard.
And I knew that, but but, you know, don't get me wrong. People can say whatever. I still haven't lost any faith in my ground game. I feel my ground game is still solid. So, you know, I went down, and it was kind of like, you know, you don't want to be behind. And that's exactly what I did. When I could have stopped him from pulling me to the ground, just like I did the first time. Well, he didn't gain any more leverage or anything. Only thing was, I was like, oh, you want to pull me to the ground? All right, let's see what's up. And instantly, when we hit the ground, I was like, all right, what do you want to do? And then, like, I kind of just waited for him to do something, and he got right into it, like, right. And you could tell that, and he said it. That was the exact sequence that he had been practicing for months. And like an idiot, I let him get right into it.
And you said he was strong.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
No, I'm just saying, like Jamal was saying, he probably escaped that same shit, the same arm locks, dozens of times without those gloves on. So, like, when you put them on, it's like, yo, usually I'm out of this. All of a sudden, you feel that stickiness where the glove catches, and you're like, fuck, man, I'm not getting out so easy, you know? That's why I tell my guys a lot of times when they've got a fight coming up, yo, you know, it's all gi. Without the gi, obviously, but just, you know, sometimes put those gloves on, man. Skin on skin, nothing but the gloves. So it's there's nothing. It's not going to feel any different at all when you're in there, because that's why you're like, yo, what the fuck? Normally I'm out. Goddamn gloves.
And a lot of times I have been guilty of that. Not like, especially in that camp. In that camp, I didn't grapple with gloves on at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did it more so. I did it more at this camp. I did a lot more at this camp. You know what I mean? But last camp, with that camp, nah, not really. I was just grappling.
They didn't give you no. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, no. I was just saying, you have, I think you mentioned Johnny Walker. And who do you have your. I know you want to move up the division. You've looked so good. Who are you looking at next?
I want Paulo Costa for real. I mean, I feel like that's the bigger name, you know, and I feel like that I feel like that's just a bigger fight for me. But yeah, if they're going to make him come up to 205, I welcome him in, you know, but if not him, Johnny Walker can get it too.
Oh, shit.
Now, Costa has looked very, very good. I mean, obviously he dropped a couple of fights. How do you think he'll fare at light heavyweight? I mean, do you think that he was just a giant middleweight and he'll be fine? Or do you think that, because I think sometimes fighting guys that are 20 pounds heavier, it really does seem to affect some guys badly. Like, you know, Cowboy was never quite as good at welterweight as he was at lightweight.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think he has a very good sales skill set. I think his hands are fast. They're powerful, and I think they'll translate well. They translated well in the Vittori fight, you know, even though Vittori's not a true 205-er. But I think he's an athlete. He's a world-class athlete. I think he can – I think if he puts his mind to it and he gets it, you know what I mean, he puts the work behind it, I think he can do it. And it'd be a good fight. We can use some excitement in the division, which I feel like we have, but, you know, that's a nice name.
Oh, shit, yeah, man. I'll tell you, your stock did not – it's right back up there. If it went down at all after that performance last night, man – that was it last night? Dude, I just got off a fucking
No, party. Two nights ago.
I did Jamal, I was at Disney with the family for 2 weeks. Trust me, man. I'm hearing Small World in my fucking ears right now. I'm about to jump in the traffic. So it's fucking crazy. I get home, there's no Wi-Fi. I'm a fucking nut.
Oh man, which way are you at Disney? Which one? The one down in Florida?
I was in Florida, man.
It's the marijuana recreational, not legal. Oh, you was going through it.
This is what I tell you. This is what I recommend if you ever go there with the fam or anything else. You're married, man?
I'm not married.
All right. Well, in the future, you have kids or no?
Yeah, I got kids. Yeah.
Oh, shit. You're saying it like, fuck yeah, I have kids. Well, if you take your kids there, I recommend don't go during the day. I do those Christmas parties. They have a Christmas party at night. It's way better. I'm not waiting online for an hour and a half. I would want you to do to me like you fucking did to Jimmy Crute the other day. I'd rather take that than sit in a fucking line. An hour and a half for a thing that lasts 3 minutes. It's fucking brutal. But anyway, and also Universal, get the express pass. Not even 10 minutes. I'm bing, bing, bing. All right, back to business. But it was a fucking experience.
Appreciate the education. You know, I appreciate the education. My kids will appreciate that education. We'll appreciate that.
Will you go on rides? Like, do you do stuff like that? Like roller coaster? I won't do any of that shit. It terrifies me.
All right. Look, when you said rides, he was saying kids. I got to thinking about the little rides. And then you got you hurried up and jammed the roller coaster in there. Yeah, look. I mean, so it depends on how I feel. I'm scared of heights.
Me too. For real.
I'm not really too big on being up like hundreds of feet in the air, being jumped around and spent. It depends on the roller coaster. It depends on how I'm feeling.
You ever go watch videos online? Sorry, Matt. They have those videos of those guys that climb. They're called like urban climbers, where they'll climb buildings with where they hang off by one arm. I'm obsessed with those videos because I'm so scared of heights and it doesn't help.
Yeah, that's a hell. That's a big hell no for me.
Jimmy gets scared when he puts the VR goggles and he thinks that day when he's walking on a board, he thinks he's really going to fall to his death.
Yeah, I do. It's very frightening.
Jimmy. Toughen it up, Jimmy. Come on. Jimmy.
I know. I don't wear condoms, so I do show bravery at some points, but just not up high.
It's more brave whoever you're sleeping with. Yeah. But I had a bunch of these at Universal. They have these delicious beef, I can't pronounce them. Empanadas? How do you pronounce that?
Empanada. Empanada, yeah.
Empanada. They're delicious. I can't pronounce it right, fantastic. But I had like three of them. And I have a 12-year-old, so I feel bad. She wants to do the roller coasters. So I went on the fucking Hulk ride. Dude, I was green. I was the fucking short little 5'6" Hulk after that. I'm like, oh, fuck. But it was those things are fucking delicious.
Empanadas are fantastic. I used to work at this factory, and this lady, she used to sell lunch, dinner. She used to make them. And like my kid's mom, she makes them. She makes them really good too.
So good, man. Where they been all my life, Jimmy?
I don't think I've ever had one.
Verde sauce? You throw the verde sauce on there?
Nah, I just got them straight from the thing. Listen, it was a little beef. It was beef. It's full of beef.
You're from New York, so I'm going to talk to you like in a way you can understand. Listen, you put that sauce on there, forget about it, okay?
Forget about it. Jamal, we know you got the skills and the octane. What do you like to do unrelated to MMA for our audience? What's some hobbies you like to do besides training? We know you're training all day.
Yeah. Like I said, I like to chill with my kids. I hang out with my kids. They're characters. They all got their own personalities. You know, spending time with them. You know, I play other sports. You know, I like to play basketball. I like to get out, play some football. I play Warzone. You know, I like to play the video game. Yeah, you know, I got a Twitch. You know.
I'm late on that. I got to get
Matt,
on that.
You got to do it. I keep telling you. You got to do it.
I'll do it when I get my basement done. Do you ever fuck with the VR? You mess with the VR at all?
I haven't yet.
I'm addicted to that shit. Try Population 1.
I got nauseous playing that, Matt. I felt dizzy.
Jimmy, when are you not getting nauseous? When are you not getting sick and afraid over here? What do we got to do?
VR porn. I can live in that world.
It's so much fun.
I'll dabble off in a little bit of everything as long as it's from the right angle. As long as we got the right angle.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to be ducking and putting on goggles. Yeah.
We don't get lost in the wrong place here.
Somebody be Jimmy be having that on. Jimmy, what are you fucking doing in that VR?
just slapping him upside the head. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir.
Our flight was delayed. I had that shit in my carry-on. I go to my wife and my three girls. I go, is it going to be a parachute if I use the airport Wi-Fi and put on my goggles? Like, Dad, don't do it. Anyway, I didn't do it. I didn't want to embarrass. If I was by myself, I would have been in there, flying. So much fun. I love that shit.
Hey, Jamal, what kind of warehouse did you work in?
And I worked in a few of them. I've worked in a warehouse from where we built the whiteboards that go to schools, to Corvette hoods, to, I was in Michigan. Michigan is a factory industry like state.
So. Yeah, I did a lot of warehouse work before I did stand-up, like forklift operating, and you forget what a difficult job that, like, you know, it's like you look at life now and what you're doing at work, and it's like, I don't miss getting up at 6 and sitting in a warehouse for 8 or 10 hours. That was a rough job. 5:30, yeah. Yeah, that sucked. So you were training and doing that?
No, actually, whenever that took over, that took precedent over training. You know, I had kids, you know, and I had responsibilities. And at the time, you know, Michigan, the path to the path for MMA in Michigan wasn't clear. You know, like Cody Stamen, he's like a pioneer.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They're from making it to the U.S. and kind of building that bridge, because Michigan, for the longest, whenever I first started, that's why a lot of what I've done is not known, because Michigan wasn't sanctioned. We didn't have sanctioning. Like, it was pretty much like some dude rented out a cage, rented out a venue, showed up. I showed up as amateur, and I fought dudes that are like 30 pounds heavier than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like almost like underground.
Right.
How does it feel now to be able to do this for a living? Doesn't it feel great?
It's crazy. Yes. Best job I ever had.
I'll tell you, you got to be on cloud 9 right now after that stoppage. Are you? You seem so very mellow. Are you? I know you're used to knocking people out, but shit, how come you're not? You should be doing. How do you feel right now, Cloud 9?
I feel good. We go see. Let the check hit the bank account first, Matt. You know, take a couple of days. You know, take a couple of days. But yeah,
I'll tell you, you got such a crowd pleasing style, also, man. You know what I mean? So I mean, I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Yeah.
How soon, as long as your knuckles are intact after that, how soon do you want to get back in there?
Soon, real soon. I want to get in there. I want to keep this momentum going. I want to go out and get another one. I had the little hitch. I dealt with that. I feel like I put together the things I need to do to keep going forward. And now I'm trying to push forward and push forward hard.
And you came back after that, because everyone has one of those. And the way you got it was in a way where you still look great. Because again, they stopped it. And it was one of those things where you're just, your arm was, you couldn't use your arm. And then you came back and you win against a guy like Jimmy Crute first round. A stoppage is incredible, because a lot of guys, it shakes their confidence and they wind up losing three or, you know, fights in a row because their confidence is, did it do anything to your confidence at all? Did it stop your, not even a little, huh?
No, because I understand, you know, I don't need confidence to throw, to throw. Confidence comes natural for me. But honestly, it's understanding. I understand striking. I understand the angles. I understand the touch and the feel and the flow, you know, and I just trust that. You know, I've been doing it for a long time. I've gone up against a lot of people, you know, and training and all type and other things like that. Like a lot of people say, like, I'm really new, or I'm really green to sport. Bro, I've been fighting since 2010. That's not new.
What'd you get started with? Would you get started with boxing? What'd you get started with?
I jumped right into MMA. I went from street fighting to MMA. My first art is jujitsu. My main base, what I started with was jujitsu.
That's great.
The gym I walked into was a jujitsu gym. My head coach, the Chad Pomeroy, the tall, bald, white guy.
Yeah.
That was my first coach. I walked in, linked in with him, and started. If you go back, like, you have to dig back to them. Like, they're on YouTube somewhere. Go back and watch my old amateur fights. My first, I was taking people down.
When did you discover you had hands? When did you start sparring?
I had hands back then, but you know, sometimes, you know, I didn't have the tech. I didn't have the technique and all the things like that. And sometimes, like, you know what I mean? Honestly, in my eyes, I was more scared of getting hit with a lucky punch or somebody just catching me and clocking me. You know, I understood that it was more of a chance of that happening than if I grabbed somebody and I mauled them.
Oh, that's fucking crazy. You never think that you'd have that type of beginning with how crazy accurate and deadly your striking is.
All right. So my first amateur fight, I went out and I knocked the dude out in like 40 some seconds. All right. And this is like 6 weeks after I started training. So I walked in the gym. My coach told me I was going to have to train for 6 months before he sent me over to fight. 10 days later, he's like, you're good. I'll set you up with a fight for 6 weeks. So I fought. My first fight was, I say, March 6th or March 3rd, 2010. I knocked him out. Then I took another fight. On 2 weeks. No, this is how crazy it was. I had a fight booked that I was supposed to fight in 2 weeks. And then I took a fight a week before that and went and fought that fight and then fought that other and then fought another fight. And I won one in 46 seconds and the other one in 30 seconds. My fastest win before this was a submission in 30 seconds.
Even though now you're fighting professionally and you're obviously going to move up the ranks, do you ever miss those days? Like something about like just the kind of crazy unpredictability of those earlier days?
Some of the feelings, like the emotions of how like how lively it felt. Yeah, to a degree. But like now, you know, I'm making money now. And I enjoy the level I'm able to perform at, and how I see things now is just it made it fun for me. Like how I view it is just it's just fun being able to do it at this level. So that's more fun for me now. That's more of the excitement.
Well, look, man, I can't wait to see you fight again. I'm looking at the light heavyweight division now, and it really is a stacked division. Rakic, Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, there's so many good fights. Again, Walker, like you said, if Costa comes up, there's so many interesting fights for you. So obviously, whenever you're ready to fight, I'm sure they'll book you again. I can't wait to see you fight again.
And styles make fights. And everybody you just said right there, Jimmy, if you put them versus Jamal Hill, I mean, every one of those is like, fuck, I would like to see him fight any one of those guys. You got a very, like I said before, crowd-pleasing style. And for the guys who think they're just going to take you down and smoke you, man, fuck, man, they got something else coming. You're not in that quick tap club. You show that.
Yeah.
It's even still like the main reason why people doubt my takedown defense is because of the my first fight in the UFC, my UFC debut, the Stosic fight. But go back and look at that fight. Like my hand was broken. My dominant hand was broken in that fight. I just broke my hand 5 weeks before the fight. So it wasn't like I could just wedge it in or I could pivot or I could post and things like that, like I needed to. So I had to adapt. My way of adapting was, all right, be heavy on him while he's taking me down and then get back up. Go back and watch every single takedown. As soon as I hit the mat, I controlled his head. I controlled the posture every single time. Right back up.
I love it. And you seem very mentally strong, bro. Like, some guys have a hiccup with whether you said that first fight or the one with Craig. I don't think you need a mental coach, man. You seem really dialed in.
Yeah, I was, man, I credit that to my parents. You know, that's my parents growing up. You know, they raised us to be tough. They were real. They were real with me. Then shit wasn't sugarcoated to me as a kid. I was told what it was. I was told how my options are, how I wanted to deal with it or go about it. And that's how it's always there for me. You know, and that's how I take it.
Are they still living, your parents?
They are.
Oh, so they're seeing you fight and they're seeing how well you're doing. Do they come to the fights or is it hard for them?
Yeah, they come. My dad, I just talked to my dad. I talked to my mom. They both have their, you know, they're older. They have their medical things that they deal with. But whenever they can make it out, they come. My mom was there whenever I got, they were there when I got signed on Contender Series. My dad was actually there at the Paul Craig fight. He didn't like that too much. they've been to a lot of them.
With your Paul Craig fight afterwards, is he, don't worry, son, you'll get the next one? Or is he a little hard on you? How is he handling it?
Nah, my pops are cool. My pops a cool player, man. My pops, you know, son, you know, hey, get back to the drawing board, you know, get it right. My dad about progression. He about, all right, what's next? It is what it is. What happened, happened. Like how I took the fight, that's how my dad go about stuff.
I like that, man.
We'll definitely have you on again, Jamal. It's good talking to you again. And again, you're just an exciting fighter. So congratulations on and just a great, great win over a really tough fighter.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Take care of yourself, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Talk to you
later, Jamal.
Always a good talk. Thank you.
You too, buddy.
All right, bro. Take care, man. Congrats.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply. Are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from the official hair restoration partner of UFC, Hair Club. UFC fans notoriously take pride in the way they look. But if you're not dedicated to your hair health, you're not giving 100%. No matter what stage of hair loss you're experiencing, Hair Club is here to help personalize a solution for you. Hair Club offers hundreds of combinations of solutions to regrow, replace, or restore your hair. Cost shouldn't get in the way of confidence. That's why Hair Club offers hundreds of combinations of products and services for different hair care needs and budgets. Their team of hair health and hair loss experts can get your hair in shape. Invest in yourself and find out which Hair Club solution will work for you. Schedule a free, no obligation hair health checkup and receive 10% off select solutions by visiting hairclub.com/UFC or texting knockout to 694-247. Text knockout to 694-247 or go to hairclub.com/UFC to schedule a free, no obligation hair health checkup and receive 10% off select solutions. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life.
Jimmy, I've been gone for 2 weeks.
I know, buddy. I know.
You know?
It was good, right?
How was that Kevin Smith rant the other day?
I didn't care for it. But again, I love you, but I love Kevin. So when my friends are fighting, I have to just deal with it.
If you love Kevin, you should talk to him.
He won't talk to me.
Well, there you go.
Because of you.
Okay. Probably not. I was the biggest fan of Kevin, you know?
See, I like what he did to He-Man. You didn't like it. I liked it.
He became a Hollywood fucking weirdo. He used to be one of us. He was a guy from Jersey, regular schmo, you know, talking about the Hollywood elite. Like, oh man, I remember he was going to be writing a Superman movie. And he wrote a Superman movie. I forgot the producer's name. It's one of those fucking whatever. And he was talking
Jimmy
about
Olsen?
The guy. Jimmy, no. He's Jimmy. he was talking. I forgot the guy's name. He produced a lot of stuff. He produced Wild Wild West. And
J. Jonah Jameson.
You're naming not real people. You're naming comic book people.
Oh, sorry. It was a mistake.
Oh, the new Spider-Man looks so exciting, Jimmy.
Don't you? I would actually see that for Alfred Molina.
Oh, he's going to be Doc Ock. He's back.
Yeah.
How do you know him? Are you a fan of Doc Ock or are you a fan of Alfred?
Well, Alfred had the best appearance ever in Boogie Nights. He was amazing in Boogie Nights.
What were they doing there?
He was the guy who they tried to rip off, who had the little guy throwing firecrackers behind him.
Right. That was him.
Yeah, he's amazing.
That was him.
Hey, Matt, Jimmy? There's smoke coming in. There's smoke coming in the car. Is that exhaust? Be careful.
Is that exhaust? Oh shit, Jimmy, I miss you.
And I loved him also in the original. I like Doc Ock in the original Spider-Man or the second one, whichever one he was in.
The one by Sam Raimi. He was very good. He was very good in Spider-Man 2. In Doc Ock, I like that too. And I like that they bring back Jamie Foxx I didn't like the Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. I wonder what we're all wondering, us Spider-Man fans, is Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield gonna be in this new one along with Tom Holland? Because it's dealing, Jimmy, as us nerds know, this new Spider-Man No Way Home is dealing with the multiverse.
Yes, I did know that.
You knew it was dealing with the multiverse?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did, because how is Doc Ock gonna be in it? And it's funny, because Doc Ock's attacking him, and he's like, wait a minute, that's not the Peter Parker I know.
Yeah.
Jimmy, do you...
I would actually see that because I love Alfred Molina as that character so much.
I miss you.
I miss you too, buddy. I mean, we'll have to meet up soon. They're asking us to do another watch along, but the date they mentioned I couldn't do, but I absolutely want to do one.
Jimmy, I think we have to do one. You know, but I don't know about doing it at my house. Who is it going to be? Me, you, and Uncle Edwin? My kid's Uncle Edwin on the couch?
Just me and you.
Okay.
Or bring in Edwin. Of course, you bring in Edwin, whoever you want. I'm saying you're not obligated.
You're telling me my brother Edwin is not invited?
No, what I was saying is I thought you were saying that you had to have somebody. You can have whoever you want.
I want you to tell him. I want you to tell my 300-pound brother, hey, listen, you're not invited. I want you to tell him with authority. Say, hey, you're not invited, Edwin. Tell him.
Here's what I would say. I would say, Edwin, you're not invited, but let me talk to Matt and see if I can get him to change his mind. That's what I would do.
Yeah, he loves
me. Yeah, whoever you want there is good with me.
And he loves anime, Edwin. And I don't like anime. But when I was at Disney, I texted him and I go, check out Super Crooks by Mark Millard. And he did Kick-Ass and he did Jupiter's Legacy. He does those comic books, but they're darker. They're darker than DC, and DC can be dark sometimes. It is an anime movie, series called Super Crooks. And I'm telling you, I'm enjoying the fuck out of it. It's very smart and edgy, and it's got a lot of action. And it's the opposite of the boring, take a shot every time somebody's crying in the second half of the new fucking He-Man movie, all right? He-Man series. Fucking Kevin Smith.
I can't wait to watch it.
You would probably, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, I didn't like regular He-Man.
Nah, but you know what? You could upgrade. The animation was so good. He could have upgraded it, made it like, brought it to like the modern times and been respectful to the whole lore. Instead, he just fucking Oh, yeah, Evil Lynn. What's her backstory? Oh, she's evil because her parents, they were starving and they wanted to eat her. So she ran away. Really, Kevin Smith?
I don't blame her. That's a great reason to run away. Your parents are going to eat you.
So then
my parents ate four of my toes. I should have left.
Jimmy, fuck yeah, Jimmy.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, your little piggies, Jimmy.
They did. Anyway, my little toes. Jimmy, yes.
Jimmy, can I just tell you this? How about this for a backstory for Evil Lynn? Oh, she's evil because her parents, they were so hungry they wanted to eat her. So she ran into the gutters and then Skeletor found her. That's why he verbally, the best is when Beast Man is like, now Evil Lynn's like a battered girlfriend because he's like, Beast Man's this fucking big thing. And he's like, Evil Lynn, we all heard her. What's going on in the dungeon, how he treats you. Really? Fuck off. Fuck off. What the fuck are you doing?
You don't like, let me ask you, Matt. Let me ask you. You don't like the unrealistic backstory in He-Man.
Evil Lynn was a battered spouse and she was getting treated by a Skeletor and he'd be like, you gutter rat. And Beastmaster, who's a Beastman, not Beastmaster. That's a movie from the 80s, which I'm sure you love.
I don't remember.
You see Beastman? Well, thank
you. If
God.
I did, I don't remember it. I was probably busy dancing.
Did you say you were probably busy dancing?
Yeah. I was part of a breakdance group.
Jimmy, you first of all, stop fibbing to the audience. You were not.
No, I did. I was a breakdancer.
Jimmy, what were you in the Electric Boogaloo?
No, we were called Poppin' and Lockin'.
No, you're making this up, Jimmy. Stop it, because you're lying to the audience. Pop locking?
Poppin' and Lockin'.
Oh, Vince left. It's. I see a thing up there. It said Vince left. I mean, he heard what we were talking about.
No, he probably is jealous because he knows I'm a good dancer. He's going to rejoin the room.
Where's Vince?
Hey, buddy, can you hear us?
Hey, sorry, guys. I was sitting there just listening to you guys. Apparently, there was some issue on my phone. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were waiting for you to come in, but that happens a lot with this stuff.
And then Jimmy brings up the new He-Man series that was a disaster from Kevin Smith. So I thought maybe you heard his He-Man rant and just hung up on us.
Oh, no. No, I missed the He-Man rant. I heard the Super Cook stuff, though, before that. I just started watching that.
Yeah, fuck, dude, I'm going to do a fucking Chippison. Fuck yeah. You like it or no?
I did. I'm digging it so far. I'm only two and a half in. I fell asleep watching it. But
do you like anime?
Yeah, I love anime. I'm a nerd with all that stuff.
A lot of fighters are into the, and I love all geek shit, but anime's never been my thing, but I do like this fucking Super Crooks. Maybe it's because it's from a guy who does comic books, Mark Millar. I don't know if you know that. Now I'm going to out-geek you, Vince.
No, you did out-geek me a little bit. No, I didn't know that.
Vince is like, hey, man, you lost me, motherfucker. Vince, congrats, by the way, man.
I appreciate that.
Listen, I out-geeked him. Show me that mug again real quick.
Oh, that's my Batman mug.
Vince, we could have been hanging out ages ago, me and you. I can tell right now.
You ever go to Comic-Con?
I have not. I would love to, though. That sounds amazing.
It's actually fun. I don't even like comic books anymore. I did when I was younger, but it's still a fun place to be. Like, there's always something great. I just walking around looking at people in their outfits and the shitty outfits, the great outfits. I prefer watching people in their shitty outfits. It's fun.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That sounds great. I'd like to go one day, hopefully soon.
Vince, it's your first time on here. And I feel like we talked to you before because you give off that vibe. What did you get? Where are you from? And what's the first art you got started in the martial arts?
I'm from a little town, Ontario, Oregon. It's about an hour away from Boise, Idaho, which is Idaho's state capital. Like 10,000 people in the town, roughly. So it's just a little small town.
Wow!
But I started wrestling in high school there, and that's my base. That's my background.
Isn't Chael from Oregon?
He is. Yeah, he's from I can't remember exactly where, but he's over. I met him when I was training with my cousin Ricky Simone over there in Portland.
Ricky's your cousin?
Yeah.
Man, what is with your family? That's amazing. You guys are badasses. Don't fuck around with that family reunion.
And doesn't he train with Lewis?
Yeah, here and there. That which left for a real interesting dynamic going into this one.
Was he able to help you at all?
Yeah, I told him not to even worry about it just because I didn't want to make things more complicated than they already were. He was already having to deal with kind of not doing camp his normal way. So whatever I could do to make that easier. Benny said, well, your family, so I'm always here for you. So he came, he was here like the last week or so, and we got to move around a little bit, thankfully.
Yeah, that's awkward because family has to come before, I guess, a training partner.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what he was saying. So,
and there was, I think they were saying that, what was it that he was timing? They said, Lewis, you were throwing body shots, and they said that he might have been timing that left. Did you ever feel like that was a danger? You were throwing like body shot combinations. Did you ever feel like that was a threat, or did you know that he was probably trying to do that? Because they mentioned that a couple of times, and you could see that he seemed to be getting the timing out of town a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think the very first time he threw it, he hit, and I didn't even mean to throw body shots. I got kind of overexcited, and when we got real close, and I was like, I'm just gonna rip his body real quick, and then I ended up throwing a left to the body, and he threw a left upstairs, and it landed. And that was something we were thinking on. And that's why there's actually a picture of me throwing a jab, making sure my right hand's up. Cause that was an old tendency that, that we became aware of and trying to break. And then sure enough, got hit with a little check hook. And I was thinking about that, in that moment too. I was like, well, thankfully that wasn't hard. I hit him again. See what happens.
Yeah. You looked really, really good. And I think you're the first guy to stop him that way to knock him out, in his career. That's gotta feel really good.
A little bit, yeah. There's something there. I met Smolka back when I debuted in Beijing, and he was like one of the first people I had talked to. So I, we were kind of friends from a distance, right? We were good acquaintances, and so it was a little weird. And it's real interesting that whole dynamic. There's actually a picture that somebody had sent me of me kneeling across the cage, and he's over there, and I just thought that was a great picture showing like the whole martial arts aspect of what we both went through there.
Well, some guys like it better when they're fighting somebody they're friendly with. Like I noticed, like even Donald Cerrone is always, it almost makes it feel like a sparring session. I think it takes away the nerves. Other guys like myself, I never like that. I like when the guy's a sea sucker. Like I like fighting Frank Trigg over fighting my buddy Chris Lytle, I'll tell you right now. So what about you? What do you like better?
I think I prefer the disconnect. It doesn't really matter to me because I can disconnect like whenever.
Okay.
The easier it is to disconnect, the easier for me. So
yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that, man. Always easy. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's always easier, better to smack somebody you'd like to smack for free. No? I don't know. That's how I felt. Yeah, it's the fight business, the business. You know, you're mounted on your buddy. You're probably like, I'm sorry about this elbow and this scar for life, possible fucking brain damage.
Didn't Glover apologize to Anthony Smith when he was knocking his teeth out? You can go like, hey, man, it's.
That was a great exchange. He had him, I think he had him up against the cage and he was beating him. And he's like, sorry, man. And then it's just business or whatever. And then Anthony's like, nah, I get it. Anthony answered him like, hey, man, fuck. I forgot what he said back, but you know, I get it, man. You know, everybody knows what they signed up for at the end of the day.
Yeah. What did you do before you fought, Vince?
So after wrestling in high school, I tried to go to, I went to Boise State for a little bit, trying to go to college so I could wrestle there. Cause that wrestling was like the only thing that kind of kept me in school in the first place. Just cause I mean, I hated school. Who likes school? But,
right.
So I went to Boise State trying to continue to wrestle, and then had some family things happen and had to drop out after like the first semester. And I worked as a car salesman. I managed a KFC. I worked in a couple cell phone spots. I was an assistant manager at a different cell phone spot. I kind of bounced around and just did some things, but training was always, even before I was actually fighting and everything, I was still going to the gym and finding some ways to train and work out.
Okay, let me ask you a car question. I'm going to have to, I'm leasing a car now. I'm going to go lease another car. What is something they fuck you on every time to be aware of?
With leasing, you're kind of, leasing's kind of cut and dry for the most part. So that one, you're almost safe. Buying used though, you got to be careful because generally you're looking at, like if you're seeing a car that they're selling for 10 grand, they probably took it in on trade for like 4 grand, if that. And then we put such and such into it, so the price went up here, yada yada. But still, like I've seen many times where a car comes in and then it's on the lot for way more, and I'm like, okay, well, if people want it, I guess.
So when you go in to get a car, it must be so nice to know that they can't screw you because you know every trick they're trying to. How do you let a guy know? Like, just give me the real deal because I know what you're gonna do.
Even if you say that, they still like you still got to play the game. So you're almost better off trying to ask for ridiculous things and play ignorant, because then they're just going to try to do whatever it takes to get the car sold. If you act like you know what you're doing, then it becomes a pissing contest, and they're both trying to see who's the real negotiator. So,
Shit, man. I like the lease. Yeah. I'm not buying the fucking new cars, man. Get a fucking lemon.
No. Were you good at it?
I was all right. It was way easier for me to deal with people who just came in looking for something new that already knew what they wanted, because then I was just there to, hey, this is the process. I can hold your hand through it. So.
Hey, Vince, let me ask you, what's something unrelated to MMA that you like to do, a hobby, not training-wise? Well, I mean, unless it's like you like to climb shit and whatever, I don't know. Some people like the wall, like rock climbers, if it's something like that, you could say that's maybe like an active rest type of thing, but
right.
What do you like to do?
Man, I really, for the most part, if I'm not training, I'm enjoying my downtime watching probably anime or some comedy or something. I sit down and relax when I'm not training. That's kind of it. Especially on my girlfriend hates it because on my Sundays I don't like to do anything, and we live in Vegas now, and she's very much like, well, we should go do this. Let's go do this. I'm like, well, we could do nothing. Like, we could just chill.
Yeah,
I like that too, man. At the Sarah household, we like a lazy Sunday. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I love it. I'm all about it.
I'm busy all week, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I like to just relax on a Sunday. You know, maybe or call up a bagel gourmet. You know, send over some bagels.
I do enjoy trying to find new places to eat. That's something, especially being in Vegas, man. There's like, you can find a new spot every other day.
Yeah, I think being a fighter, it almost makes you appreciate food more, because you have, when you're deep in camp and stuff, like I remember like holidays around my family, especially my wife's family, and everybody's fucking eating all the good shit. And I'm having my fucking, I hate my broccoli and my chicken and shit. I'm like, So when you're able to, that's why a lot of people do that old Jake LaMotta, become fat guys. I used to go a fat guy between camp. What about you? Like, did you like, you really enjoy food, or do you?
I really enjoy food. I'm always eating. The main thing, so I'm not the biggest bantamweight. I don't like have to watch my diet 100%. So like, for instance, a couple weeks out, this is kind of crazy. A couple weeks out from the fight, I was actually, my girlfriend's mom was in town, and we went to all you can eat sushi twice that week. We had Korean barbecue that week, and we had Thai food twice that week. Ooh.
Shit.
That was all in 1 week, and that was a couple weeks out. And I was like, but my weight's good. So funny thing is, I cut out beer and hot Cheetos, and all of a sudden I dropped like 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Hot Cheetos. I'm sorry, Jimmy. He said hot Cheetos.
I know. I've had them. They're very hot.
They're good. Are they good, the hot Cheetos?
I've had them.
Are they very good, the hot Cheetos? I never had a hot Cheeto.
Oh, really? Oh, I love them, man. I just should see my pantry downstairs. I got like 5 bags in there right now.
Yo, why do you like, do you just like the spiciness? We ask the hard questions on Unfiltered.
Yeah. What's your favorite snack?
What's your favorite? Hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
I know what I'm trying today.
Yeah. So do you go to the strip a lot? Like, if I lived in Vegas, I would get in so much fucking trouble, because I always look at that as a place to indulge every bad instinct I have.
He's a perv. Sorry, yeah, Vince. Yeah. My buddy Jimmy's a perv. You don't know him well.
I've watched before. I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So is it hard? Like, even gambling, or just, you know, walking around smoking? Like, there's all this shit that I want to do in Vegas that I shouldn't do.
Yeah, I stay away from all that. Every now and then we'll go down the strip, like if I got family or friends that come to town, because that's what they want to do. But man, we've lived here for 2 years, and I've maybe been down there four or five times.
Can you see it from where you are?
When I'm driving, yeah, I can see it. But for the most part, no. Like I stay pretty far away from it. I can just look down and I can see it. It looks real cool at night.
Yeah. It's nice, way in the distance. But I just know I would probably have problems there. There's a lot of great restaurants. I guess that's one good thing. If you want to find different food every night, you can do it there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And what made you move to Vegas?
Trying to make the most of the UFC opportunity, really, with everything that the PI has to offer. I mean, I'm there pretty much I'm headed there after this, actually. That's my second home. Just trying to make the most of the opportunity at hand, really. And I think there's a lot of growing that people go through personally when they when they make a big move. And me being from that little town of 10,000 people, I think it's almost a culture shock a little bit.
And you have access to it.
Yeah, shit.
It's nice, right?
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
And talk about culture shock, because you go from that small town, then you go to that PI. It's something it's almost like futuristic how crazy it is. Such cutting edge shit there. Not to mention the food's good and whatnot.
It's insane. I try to remind myself, like, every time I'm going through there to like take pictures and stuff like that, just because I do it so often. I go there so often. It's like normal now, but I want to share that with people because I realize it's not that normal, like, to be able to see all that stuff, see all the other fighters coming through and like have access to like such like high quality trainers and nutritionists and physical therapists and all that. It's crazy.
As far as taking the pictures, you'll be there for a while, man. You're looking great. So you're in no rush. The dudes with two or three losses should be like, fuck, I'm not going to have this at Bellator. They should be like a Spielberg and that motherfucker. They'll be lovely, like, yo, can I have a coupon for something? I don't fucking know. But I'm just saying, dude, you got a bright future. How old are you again? I don't have any notes in front of me. I don't know if you noticed my setup. It's usually more professional. I just got back from Disney. I came back last night late. No Wi-Fi in my house. That's why I'm in a parking lot right now. How old are you, bro?
I just turned 31 last month.
Ah, you're still a young dude.
Oh, man, I feel old. Are you kidding me? I got started late, too.
When did you start?
I started training like 22. I kind of started doing oddball training. I mean, I watch a couple of YouTube videos and try to replicate things in the gym.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's kids in there 22 in the UFC. So that's crazy. That's when you got started. Mm-hmm.
And then I think I had my first fight amateur at like 23. Then I was pro at 24. And yeah, here we are. So damn, it's been seven years going on pro.
You got your eye on anybody else? Because obviously you had a pretty short night on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm always looking at like the top of the division, even though I know I got work to do, or guys that I've already fought and they beat me because I owe them. But mainly I was talking about Nathaniel Wood, and then I saw that he just signed a contract to fight somebody. So that one's kind of out, might be out. But if that falls through, I'll jump in there. I think that's a fun fight. It's got some good skill set. I think we match up well. I think we'd have a fun fight. Him and, of course, like people like O'Malley.
Yeah, O'Malley's look great.
Yeah. They want that shine. They want that. I forget if it's shine or smoke, but they want that attention that fucking O'Malley has. It's not smoke. What is it?
It's that smoke shine. It all works. I want it all.
All works.
Good. Good. That's right, Jimmy. Give Vince all that smoke. He can take it. He'll shine. I don't know. Hey, man. So you're healthy, dude. You want to jump back in soon, you're saying?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, the sooner the better for me. I think so. I tore my Achilles at the end of August last year, and it sidelined me for I didn't even know you could do that. It sidelined me for what felt like an eternity, and then so I felt I'm just trying to make up lost ground.
When I think about Achilles, any injuries with that, I think of that movie. What is it? Fucking not brothel. What is it? What is the fucking one when they're in the? It's not a whorehouse.
Hostel.
Jimmy, how do you, that little, you know, see what I said about a perv? He knows exactly. I said, anyway.
Wait, you're the one who said brothel. How am I the perv? The first thing you say is brothel.
Anyway, I like when he goes, all right, you can leave. And the guy goes to get up. And meanwhile, he cut his Achilles. And he's like, remember that, Jimmy?
I never saw the movie.
Fuck it. Anyway, it's a good, Hostel's a sick movie. It's disturbing. But it's a very, you know, you ever see Hostel, Vince?
Yeah, I've seen it. It was hard to watch. That stuff makes my legs weak watching it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. But, dude, I'm telling you, around that same age of the guys in the movie, like where they were in the movie, they were on like the Euro train going from wherever they were going from. But I did the same thing with my Brazilian buddy when we were both purple belts. We went from Amsterdam to Paris to France to London. So in the movie, Jimmy, they get approached on the train by some dude. He goes, hey, man, you want all the best chicks are at this fucking hostel in so-and-so. So I look at that movie, and I was in the same – if a guy came to me and my Brazilian buddy at 23 years old, they go, hey, man, I would have been at that motherfucker. So that's a scary movie because it's almost like you put yourself in the situation. Man, you should – Jimmy, you would see it. You should see it.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. I've just never watched it.
Hard to watch.
It is hard to watch. I like the anime better. I'm with you, Vince. Yeah, that shit's fucking... I don't like the horror movies. Unless it's like Scream or something that's got some like something to it. Like a little spooky more than... I don't like the gore for just being gory.
It's kind of like the right amount, right? Not too much. Not like like when you get into pure gore and stuff like that, the Saw and Hostel kind of cut me off a little bit, but I do love a good scary movie. I'm all about it.
Exactly, man. I want to be able to eat my popcorn. I don't want to be like, ah.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey, do you like sci-fi? Did you ever see Dune, the new Dune?
Ooh, is that out already?
It's out. It's so good. You should see it.
Yeah, it looks great. I love sci-fi.
Jimmy shits all over sci-fi. He shits all over it.
No, I'll watch Dune. I'll watch it.
It's so good that I've seen it before, like a bunch of times, like on my HBO Max. It's off that now, I believe. And I was just at Universal and everything. And we were at Disney Springs the last day. My family, my wife and three girls, they want to go shopping. All right, I'm going to the AMC. I watched Dune by myself.
Very nice.
In the theater. Jimmy, is that pathetic, Jimmy?
No, it's something that's alone, air conditioned, eating popcorn, nothing wrong with it.
You know, I enjoyed it. Anyway, it's really good. You should see it.
Yeah, I'm watching it tonight.
Fuck yeah.
Vince, good talking to you, man. Definitely come back on again. Let us know when you have a fight lined up. That was a really, really exciting win. And congratulations, man. You look great.
Thank you. Congrats again. Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I'm just getting started, so more to come. And it's actually an honor to really talk to you guys. I remember after I debuted in Beijing, I don't know how I stumbled onto your guys' podcast, and you guys were one of the few people that had some good things to say about me despite the loss. So I was like, okay, that made me feel good. So I appreciate you guys.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, thanks, man.
Come back on. You got another fight. You know, you get something on the radar. Let us know, man. We're going to get you back on.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. I'm all about it.
Take care, buddy.
All up, Vince. Take care, man.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Looking for a new home, or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I love that Dune, Jimmy. I'm not even lying.
I know
my family, they wanted to go shopping. I go, look, we were in 2 weeks. We did the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you kids had a great time. The wife had a great time. Well, I don't want to go shopping. Daddy's tapping. I don't do this. So I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
Let me just have a nice 2.5 hours, even though towards the end of it, I get a text from my wife and the Rainforest Cafe is the 2 hour, half hour wait. You want to watch the rest? She knew I seen the movie already. So I didn't get to watch the ending in there. I got out of there a little early. But that doesn't defeat the purpose. You understand? It's a great movie, Jimmy.
2.5 hour wait for the fucking Rainforest Cafe?
Yeah, and it's just food. And once in a while, it'll go like, bah, 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 you hear monkeys and shit.
Two and a half hour wait.
Oh, how about Jimmy? The first time we were there, we made the mistake of going there on a Saturday night when we got to Disney. Because we were over in like Tarpon Springs at my in-laws. We did Thanksgiving there. So then we do the hour and a half trek over to Orlando. By the way, I talked to my buddy Ben Saunders. What a good guy. Yeah. I didn't get together with him because he was leaving. I usually get together with him when I'm in Orlando. Killer B, Ben Saunders. But he was going to LA the next day to see Eddie Bravo. So I didn't get to hang out with him. But anyway, I don't know why that popped up. So we were at Disney Springs. So we go, let's get the – first of all, crowd as fuck. We got to the Rainforest Cafe because we went there. Jimmy, we went there once before. And they're like, oh, it's a 5 hour wait. 5 hours? The fuck is that?
So you put your name and then come back in 5 hours, right?
No, we fucking left and went to Chick-fil-A, which was delicious. So, Jimmy, I like that Chick-fil-A. That spicy chicken sandwich. I used to think that, you go back in the archives, I spoke about this before. That's how you know it's true. Wendy's had the best spicy chicken sandwich until my little bird, I tried the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich. So good. So fucking good, Jimmy. Unlike the new Kevin Smith Masters of the fucking Universe revelations, which is dog shit.
I would rather watch that than eat at Chick-fil-A.
Ah, that's all political for you, though.
No. I just don't like it. That's what I say about Chick-fil-A.
In case people don't see what's going on, Jimmy's green scheme became a big toilet in the background.
All right. You know? Well, Matt, I'll talk to you in a couple of days. It was nice to talk to Vince Morales and Jamal Hill, to have him on again. And I'm glad to see you again.
By the way, congrats to Jose Aldo.
Oh, God. Yeah. Incredible. By the way, how did anybody have that 50-45? I don't know how that was 50-45. I thought Font looked a lot better than that. That was unfair.
Font was doing well. Like, yeah. He had his moments, but it looks like he was just, he had a hard time just getting settled in. Like, I don't, this is definitely not the last time we've seen, the last we've seen a Rob Font.
No, of course not.
I think he had I think it's similar to like Calvin Kattar fighting Max Holloway in a way, in a sense where they fight up a level and that's going to bring them to and past that level, if that makes sense. That's how highly in regard, I'm not using my English right, but that's how much I
respect. You're stoned.
Wait a while, but I clear out my system. You know, Rogan has a sober October. I got a sober 2 week. I have a sober 2 week November. That didn't rhyme.
No, it was terrible. You have a remember November because you're not going to do anything in it.
Jimmy, I had 2 weeks where I cleared my system out and I feel great, but that's not the point. The point is that's how much respect I have for Calvin Kattar and Rob Font, because I'm saying that they fought Max Holloway, Jose Aldo. It was not their nights, but I think when we see them fight again, because we're yet to see Calvin Kattar fight since then.
Yeah.
When is he fighting again, by the way? He's fighting Gigi.
Yeah, but he spelled it Chickadee.
That's his last name, isn't it?
Who are you fucking? It's Chickasey.
Chickasey. What the fuck?
Hey, my little Chickadee. Who is he fighting? W.C. Fields?
That's a great fight. Yeah. Holy shit, yeah. That's a good fight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to see what he learned from the Max Holloway fight.
Giga Chickadee. I can't wait to see him fight Chickadee.
Jimmy, I want to give respect to the whole card when I'm able to look at my notes because, you know, like we said, I don't have anything in front of me. I'm in a parking lot.
That's all right. We'll talk Monday.
I had to do what I had to do, Jimmy. I mean, the show must go on.
100%.
I usually got the laptop. To let people know behind the scenes, I usually got my laptop and I got my phone where I look at all my notes. But now I'm doing it on my phone, hence I want to go over the card properly. We're going to do that on Thursday's show. We're going to give some, and not only that, we're going to preview what's going on this next Saturday. It's going to be, Jimmy, it's going to be a great week here on
Yes, it will. We've got a lot to do on Wednesday.
A lot to do. Jimmy, right, tell me how much you miss me.
I did miss you. I'm happy you're back. I'm very happy you're back.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah. All right, listen. Hey, man, we're going to talk more in a couple days.
You
all
got
right?
it, buddy. Yes, have a good couple days, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Look how powerful I look, Jimmy.
You do look very strong.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
You're the best.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.